Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today we'll discuss the review article by Wadugu et al. Titled, The Role of Neuregulin 1, ERB before Signaling in the Heart and Cardiomyocyte Proliferation. This article published online March 16, 2012. My guests today are Associate Editor Leon DeWint, Senior Author Bernhard Kuhn, and leading expert Doug Sawyer. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. I'd like to get started by asking the first question to the corresponding author, Bernhard, to give our listeners a short overview on neuregulin signaling in general, and specifically maybe the clinical observation on Herceptin treatment of breast cancer patients.
Yeah, thank you. This is a great question. Chiefly and briefly in adult organisms, neuregulin signaling is important in the heart, in the brain, and in breast tissue. We focused our work on neuregulin in the heart because, as you mentioned, an early observation after introduction of Herceptin as a chemotherapy adjuvant for breast cancer, an early observation was that Herceptin was associated with heart failure in up to 30% of patients who received it.
So I'd like to ask Doug on his opinion on further clinical aspects of Herceptin treatment.
Thanks, Leon. I'd like to understand what Bernhard thinks about how Herceptin's cardiac effect might or might not relate to myocyte proliferation that he observed with neuregulin. And I ask that specifically because one of the findings with Herceptin-associated cardiac dysfunction is it is largely reversible.
Usually, developmental pathways are inactivated in the postnatal organism. And putting all available data together, it is more likely than not that it does a lot more than proliferation of a small subpopulation of differentiated cardiomyocytes in the adult heart.
So, Bernhard, I think you make a good point, and that is there's this huge array of things that we can see happen once neuregulin activates receptors in heart cells. And proliferation, as you mentioned, is one event of many. And the others, I think it's important to think them through and understand how they might be playing a role both in the Herceptin story, but also in the motivation to try to use recombinant neuregulins to treat heart failure. And so when I look at that list, I think about metabolism. I think about cell survival. I'm not sure how big an effect that is. I think about regulation of sarcomere turnover and stability. I think about regulation of calcium handling. And in animal work, we're seeing effects on matrix protein turnover that might also play a role in remodeling. One of the things to think about is how important each of these steps are, and then how do we discern how each of these plays a role in the potential therapeutic effects of recombinant neuregulin in heart failure.
I would like to push your question a little further and ask whether the effects that we find in animal models or in vitro models can be reproduced in humans. For example, an inhibition of apoptosis that was shown for neuregulin in vitro, we didn't find a huge effect of that in vivo.
One subsection of your review, Bernhard, deals with the potential effects of neuregulin administration that does not immediately or directly involve myocyte proliferation, as was alluded to by Doug already. Yeah. One being maybe the differentiation of resident stem cells. So, Doug, how do you now interpret the human results? Are we looking at effects of attenuated myocyte dropout? What's your opinion about that?
The clinical trials are so early that I think it's impossible to fully interpret them. We've only seen very small numbers of patients get treated with recombinant fraction of neuregulin, not any full-length molecule, overseas, and that's a great preliminary step. In comparison, in animal models, recombinant neuregulin has shown a much greater degree of cardiac systolic function improvement. Is that because it doesn't scale up to people, or is it because we treat animals differently or the models are not right? I'm not sure. When the clinical trial that has moved the furthest along, that they used a continuous infusion 10 or 11 hours over 11 days, which is completely different from what we did in animals. So I'm not convinced we've seen the trials done the right way.
As you know, there is a large body of literature out there about a variety of adult stem cells in the heart that I think is at the moment still discussed with a level of controversy. We need to, I think, await further validation of and cross-validation of some of the claims. But I think it is increasingly realized that the adult heart may have some level of plasticity if that is sufficient to represent a reasonable target for regenerative therapy remains to be determined.
Do you foresee any synergy in a new therapeutic approach where you would give neuroglycan and on top of that a stem cell treatment?
I think that is a very good idea and it's worth pursuing. As all these cell therapy trials have progressed, both in preclinical as well as clinical arena, one observation is it appears that it's the paracrine effect of these cells that is inducing improvement in cardiac function. And to add into it a recombinant paracrine factor that now appears to be safe for delivery to humans, as a potential adjunct. I think it's a great experiment that ought to be done.
Bernard, neuroglycan is a proliferative paracrine effector. So the type of patients that we're looking at is the aging population with heart failure. Is there any possibility that neuroglycan treatment would cause proliferative disease in a patient group that is susceptible to various forms of cancers?
Our animal model, although it is a myocardial infarction model, used mice that were 6 to 8 weeks old at the beginning of the experiment. So that is really more a model of a young adult. And I believe that from what we've learned out of the regeneration fields, especially out of the neonatal mouse injury work that showed that neonatal mice can very effectively regenerate myocardium, then we might want to look at heart disease in the younger age spectrum. And there we are quite excited because, as you know, I'm working at Children's Hospital, and congenital heart disease is the number one birth defect in worldwide. So we are very hopeful, and that may be a new line of work, to characterize potential human target diseases that are not the traditional aging population with myocardial infarction and ischemic cardiomyopathy.
Maybe to shift gears, in this review, I noted that there was a useful table included with an overview of the outcome of animal studies and human clinical trials. And what struck me, and Doug already alluded to this, is the gradual difference in outcome in terms of cytokinesis in cultured primary cells, experimental outcome in animal models with a 10% improvement of ejection fraction, and then culminating in a 4% improvement in ejection fraction in two very early clinical trials.
One of the trials, I should say, was not controlled, although they used a cardiac MRI, which is a very rigorous way of quantifying myocardial function. Now, the clinical trials were performed without a selection of patients for potential responsiveness to neuroglycan therapy.
I think the work Bernard has published is wonderful, that neuroglycan may be a proliferative factor, but I think it's short-sighted to conclude that that's what it is. And that's how it might work to repair cardiac muscle. I think it's very clear it's a reparative factor, and it does improve cardiac function in animal models and maybe to a modest degree in one clinical trial in people. But is it because it's proliferative factor? We have no idea. And yet it has all these other properties. And so to begin to select out or talk about selecting out patients who have impaired proliferative potential, if we believe that's true in adults or older adults, I think that's flawed. I think there's too many other effects of the compound or the recombinant factors that are potentially therapeutic to just begin to whittle away at what the patient population is we should think about.
I think we need to get a fuller picture, be it cardiomyocyte proliferation, be it matrix, exosome matrix remodeling, which may be associated findings of regeneration. And we may look at the same thing and call it different things.
Overall, I think that we can all agree that this is a current hot topic in the field with several tasks still ahead for basic science, experimental animal studies, and with therapeutic options for human studies in the future. We would like to thank our guest, the invited expert in the field, Douglas Sawyer, and the corresponding author of the manuscript, Bernard Kuhn, for his contribution to the journal, and I can highly recommend this review to our listeners and readers. Gara?
And thanks for listening to this AJP Heart and Circ podcast.